Leoni, taloha ni, talofa lava, mahalo le soefo ma le langi mama, kia orana, mahalo elelei, whakalofa lahi atu, talofa, koko mele mele puka, meo, mai te ama, e momo la
wakini. Tata we fo matano, le tuo lo mātou tamā, o eo le tuo tuo le tupo tupo o le li oli. O mātou whane ne ina nau fio le nei tai au. Whaafitai lau tau singa o au whamanuianga e le ngatai lea o lau puipuinga iai mātou lau whanau. Father God, we come before you this morning to give you your praise. We worship your name, we magnify, we glorify you, Lord. And we give you all the honor and glory. Thank you so much for bringing the brothers here safely today. And we also thank the Planet of Amp for giving us this great opportunity to reach out to our people in relation to any health matters. We ask for your blessings upon our brother Fale Tanoai, who will be sharing some messages about health, addictions, drugs and alcohol, gambling problems. We ask for your anointing upon all of us. And bless Mele Mele Puka, who is a broadcaster, as well as our mother, Fale Puka, who is not with us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. That song, the song, I just want to get up and dance. No matter the weather, just groove in the thunderstorm. Feel that rain. Oh, well, maybe back in the beautiful South Pacific, you can get away with dancing in the rain. And the islands, I mean working in the plantations. Not here in New Zealand, though. It's too bloody freezing. You'll end up with the shivers. unless, of course, you're playing rugby. I'm talking about all rugby league. Hats off to our New Zealand Warriors. They're doing it really tough. Tough being away from their loved ones, and it's taking a toll on them. It's affecting them mentally, and no doubt it's affecting their results as a team on and off the field. No doubt. I really commend these young men, especially the ones who got no families in Oz. Be strong, brothers. But more so, good to also finally see our local clubs, our local sports teams getting back onto the field too. I live next to the Pakuranga Fencibles United Soccer Club, and I took my boys down over the weekend to watch the soccer game. They love soccer. My name is Mele Mele, your host today. And just a couple of things before we bring on our special guest, our Uso Dwayne Faletanoe, doing big things helping our communities. Just want to acknowledge Fale Puka, the real host. She isn't here due to health complications. She's got heart problems, been in and out of hospital. But thank God she's at home right now, resting up. Rest up, Mum. We've got a lot more time to... We've got a lot more things to do in the next few months. So take it easy. We'll be holding the fort in the meantime. Love you. Also, I want to acknowledge... this COVID-19 virus, this pandemic, as we all know, man, it's really shaken up and drastically affected so many of us, you know, our livelihoods, our way of living, employment, our lifestyle, things we took for granted, like mowing the lawns. Maybe in a sense, some sense we got comfortable pre-lockdown, and maybe on some different levels we let our guard down, got comfortable, which does not necessarily mean we are doing the right thing or what we really want to do, I think. I think also, you know, there are a lot of questions and the fear of the future, the uncertainty of what's happening earlier on this year. And yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, as I was saying, you know, we took a lot of things for granted pre-lockdown. And, you know, made us really look at what's really important. Well, over the past few months anyway, there's definitely been a lot of time to reflect. And I've also found that overthinking during those times was sometimes not a positive thing. You know, we all deal with things differently. On a personal level, I think. Well, I know the leadership shown by the organisation I work for during the lockdown, right up till now, and I'm just so thankful to be an employee, you know, being a support worker for Pacific Home Care, you know, looking after our vulnerable families in their houses or wherever they may live. like many Kiwis at the start of the lockdown, I was quite fearful of the unknown, anticipating the future for my family, you know, stressing over scenarios out of my hands, you know, stressing whether I should continue working throughout the lockdown. A lot of doubts, you know, asking myself, what if I contract the virus and pass it on to my family? You know, I was thinking, I don't want to go to my clients' houses and get sick from them or pass it on to them. You know, you got to understand. And, you know, my son just came out of Starship and, you know, it's dark, tough times for my family. But I'm glad I made the choice to continue working. And I put my faith and trust in the organisation, in the leadership group led by Hamish Crooks, right from the start. Man, right from the start of this pandemic, the lines of communication, the transparency, the health and safety, you know, PPE gears for us frontline, the questions, our pay. You know, that's a big thing. All those doubts were all addressed, but more so I found while working the encouraging emails we staff were receiving on a daily basis, you know, during total lockdown. You know, I prayed to God and cried a lot, you know, when as anyone would, when they're down and out, but I'm not religious. But the words of encouragement from the good book and emails sent from my boss really helped to get through that period and for me to do the job as best as one could. Almost like a father figure guiding us stuff through the night. And I can wholeheartedly say, so thankful to be an employee there as a frontline staff. So thankful and grateful for the blessings. It's been a huge, huge relief being an employee. But I'm also aware of the fact, as you know, all over the platforms, on the news, there's been a huge cost, a huge, huge sacrifice, huge cuts and restructures with various organizations and businesses alike just to get by, to be sustainable, loss of employment. You know, it's really affected us in a lot, in huge ways. The fact is, you know, it's a numbers game, and so thankful for the top, you know, for the assistance, for the top-ups and government assistance. You know, that's the reality, how it is. And thoughts and prayers to all those that have been severely affected as a result of these recent events. And I understand we're all doing our best, the best we can do to feed our families and look after others as best as we can. But as I said before, I'm just so thankful and I count my blessings every day. Things could have turned out very differently. So all praises to our Heavenly Father. So thank you, Lord. Now I'm about to bring on our man of the hour, Dwayne. Man, Dwayne Faletanoi, you know, this guy has been serving our communities for a long time. For a long time within our Christian faith and through his work as well. His professional work in the health sector. And I've known of him for a few years and seen what he does. But I'm very thankful to have got to know him over the past year or so and get to know him personally as well and see the difference he is making in looking after our his workforce and also serving our Pacific people in the region. So Dwayne, coming up right after this gem, this R&B classic.
Welcome back to Te Ama Pasifika Health Program with Mele Melepuka and Lorenzo Kaisara. Joining with us in the studio today, we have Mr. Dwayne Faletanoa'i from Takanga Afohe, Waitemata District Health Board. Homai te baki baki mo Dwayne. Mr. Dwayne, welcome on the show.
Tālo falava, maroli soifua. My brothers, Lorenzo, Mele, it's a privilege and an honour to be on the show.
Thank you for taking the time out to come out and share your whatever services that you guys offer, that Takanga Afohe offers to support our community. But before we get to our interview, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, your background, and a little bit about your personal life as well?
Absolutely. I'll take it back to a cold and rainy night on October the 4th in 1983. A legend was born. brothers, and warm Pacific greetings to listeners of Te Ama Pacific Radio, Planet FM. Look, I was born in Christchurch, but my parents, they're Samoans, proud Samoans. Mm. They hail from the mighty island, Pacific island of Samoa.
Yeah.
Might put a plug in for Mum's village, Mulifanua.
Woohoo!
Famous for a lot of things, including one of the most devastating tacklers in the NRL game, Stevie Matai's from Mulifanua.
Yeah.
Hits me. My father's village is Faliatu, which is also famous for a number of things, some which I won't mention on air, but the one I will mention this village is also the village of our great Pacific warrior, David Tua.
So yes.
That's where they come. So there are 60s migrants to New Zealand. I was born in Christchurch. I was raised in Auckland. I'm a proud Crusaders fan. I apologise to all the listeners, all my brothers sitting here with me for the loss on the weekend. But it was to be expected. There was no other result. It was a waste of time playing the Crusaders, you know, when you know, they're always going to win, no matter who you put against them. That, you know, the result is a sure,
yes,
a guaranteed win for the Red and Blacks, yes, where I come from. Now, I was raised in a small family. I'll cut to the chase here, family team. It was really just my mum and my sister. We grew up in a small nucleus family in the South Auckland, Manurewa, in a state home. We were burgled a few times. I had my shoes stolen from the front doorstep a few times. From very humble beginnings, we were blessed and supported by a wonderful church community, which we're part of at the moment, St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, now Covenant Grace Presbyterian. Fast forward, I did a bit of schooling out south. I went to university. I'm now married. I've been married to a wonderful wife from the South Island, Catherine. We've got four children, Mason. Wow. Why did I have to think? We've got four children, Mia, Mason, Jesse, and Jonty, aged between 5 and 12, and we all live out south. And I'm currently working for the Waitemata District Health Board as a team manager for Takanga Foe. There we are. There's a
wow. What a journey.
Quick introduction.
Malo Dwayne. Man. Wait, which high school did you go to?
I hail from Manurewa King's College, Manurewa High School. Yeah, just one of the greatest schools in South Auckland.
And also, you also mentioned and your old man was.
So Dad passed away in 2015. Oh. So we were blessed enough to bury him in Christchurch.
Okay, thank you also, Dwayne, you've been involved in the health sector a long time. Can you share with us your journey into how you got into the health sector and your reasons for getting into that area, into that space?
Absolutely, Mal. You and I were talking off air for a little while there. Both our stories are similar in the sense that we've both got family members who are, you know, have had struggles with health and are both benefactors of the health system here in New Zealand. I'm sure you do too, Lorenzo. But at this point, I just quickly acknowledge your mum, Mal, a legend for the Pacific and well known to us, well respected amongst the organisation I represent, as well as myself. But
thank you.
I started in youth health a long time ago. I just wanted to do anything really with youth. It kind of went hand in hand with church. I was a youth leader for a while there, so I thought I wanted to work with youth. I still fancied myself as being a youth myself. And for those reasons, I mean, our families are not well. We're Pacific. They're very reliant on a health system that works for them. You know, I thought I wanted to be part of that. So that's how I got into it. Years ago, about 2007, I was fortunate enough for a gentleman we all know well, Pulotu Bruce Levy, to do a student work placement for an addiction service. Health service. Not what I wanted to get into at the time, but nevertheless, an opportunity for youth and health.
So
hand in hand. So that's how I went in.
Sorry, also, Pulotu, he encouraged you to get into that line of work.
He did. I mean, he's a pioneer, a champion for the sector. So like many of us, he did truly encourage us to go down the same pathway.
That's amazing. Okay.
Well, I've been there ever since. You know, it's been 13, 14 years now.
Wow.
In the health sector. So, yeah, enjoy it as much as I did day one. It's and that's not just cliche, that's an honest assessment. Yes.
Dwayne, can you share with us some of the experiences, you know, dealing with, you know, some of the specific people that needed the youth, that needed, you know, help with the line of work you were doing as a, sorry, you were a counsellor?
Mm.
Yeah. Can you share with us some of the experiences you had there?
Absolutely. Thanks, Mel. I started off as a counsellor, as you say, as a clinician. We'll call it a clinician or a practitioner, as they call these days, modern day. Registered under a national body for addictions practitioners. Yeah, many stories. You know, with all the success stories comes, you know, the heartbreak stories as well. You know, we've got a mixture of positive outcomes where our youth are able to belong in a in a group or a family or have a place in society, have a purpose to wake up each day and do something. And addictions and mental health has always been a barrier. So, you know, just being part of the change process and breaking down those walls and allowing them to function and meet their dreams and goals and contribute to society like we all want to has been a wonderful thing. Particularly more recently, what I've seen post-COVID, Mel, you spoke in your introductory message on the show a lot about the COVID-19. We've seen a lot of, unfortunately, you know, a well-anticipated response in terms of people becoming unwell. Our Pacific, you know, they're big families. They've been locked up, locked down, and locked up in their own homes, caring for loved ones, losing work, as you mentioned, cut off from their natural supports like churches and social groups like that. So you can imagine the degree of, you know, unwellness happening for our Pacific at the moment.
Mm. That's right, Dwayne. And you did mention that prior to coming on here, you know, when I reached out to you last week, you've been just chockers. You know, you and the organisation, especially during the lockdown period. Sorry, Dwayne, before we go any further, can you please share with us the work you're doing at Takanga Fohe, please?
Takanga Fohe means unison of oars. It's a Tongan proverb. So we sit under the Waitemata District Health Board. We are a specialist mental health and addictions team made up of four small teams. I'll quickly run through those for us. Isa Lei is our adult mental health Pacific team. Tupu is our addictions team, adult and youth, from 13 years and up. And importantly with Tupu, we have a gambling team, a gambling specialist team, and a health promotion arm, which I'd love to say a little bit more a bit later on. And then quickly, those other two teams, Malanga is Malanga Are Pacifica is our cultural arm. They are cultural assessors and advisors. They are very affluent with the Pacific language and cultural and protocol. And they work alongside clinical teams, not only ours, but all the mainstream and DHB, NGO, clinical teams and non. And then we've got other tier, fourth arm of Takanga Fohe, which is our child and adolescent mental health team.
Yeah.
So in essence, we're mental health and addictions, we're mobile, we see Pacific, we see people that identify with Pacific. We basically, just to give people a clearer picture, we see a lot of the high risk and very unwell Pacific. People who have not just fallen through the cracks, but well and truly embedded and stuck. You know, there's cracks and crevices, tough cohort of Pacific that we serve. And in essence, my role in sense as a team manager, blessed to be a team manager, is ensure the quality of service delivery for Pacific communities.
So share with us the team you look after. How many underneath you, Dwayne?
We have a small team of about 40 at the moment. That's a multidisciplinary team made up of doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, occupational therapists, social workers, practitioners, clinicians, AUD clinicians. And cultural advisors, assessors. Yeah, we've got a good spread. But given the growth of our Pacific communities, I mean, we know the growth here in Auckland is huge. Accelerating fast. We're still a very, very small team which covers the whole of Auckland, not just Waitemata.
Yeah.
our triple team wanders as far as the mountains down in Bombay.
Wow.
All the way to North. So a very small team, four teams with just 40 staff.
And as you mentioned earlier, during this lockdown period, you know, it has brought a lot of extra stress, being locked down, losing jobs and that. And so how have you guys been coping with the problems? That's the only way I can put it. Have you guys been managed the load there?
Yeah, I'm very proud of the team and how they've responded, given the demand and the uncertainty of, you know, we were all going through something very uncertain, something that was changing every day. We didn't know what was going to transpire in terms of people getting sick, so the hospitals were being cleared up to make way. And our particular building where we're based was in West Auckland, was converted into an urgent care centre, which was going to be a place for an overflow of psychiatric patients that presented to the main hospital that come across. Look, how we coped, you asked, Mel. I think we adopted the mentality that we were all grateful and blessed to be having a job, you know, to still be considered essential.
Yes.
And we knew we still had a job to do. We knew that for Pacific, this was going to be a very, very uneasy time, not just for Pacific, for everyone, really. So we knew that we wanted to embrace the challenge, and we banded together. We worked through. We adhered to all the government, the ministry directions and advice, and we put in strong, solid plans for our own teams, which worked. You know, it worked. We looked back, we reflected, we evaluated our performance, our response, and the outcomes for our clients. And I'm really proud of the team, how they responded. Really proud.
Mahalo, Dwayne. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but your guys' focus is addictions, gambling,
mental health,
and obviously, as you mentioned, you know, suicide really ties into all that. You know, it goes hand in hand with severe mental health struggles. Can you share with us the area you guys look after? You know, the region.
Yeah, absolutely, Mal. So UCLA and Malanga, our adult mental health teams, they look after West and North Shore. That's the catchment area. So we're catchment, the largest DHB of the 20 in the country. It's Matamata. Tupu, like you said, is our addictions team. They cover alcohol, drugs, gambling as well. And we've also got a lot of referrals from young Pacific Island youth and children for gaming as well. So gaming is a trend that's coming through. So they cover the whole of the Auckland region.
It's more than a trend. That's a way of life. Mm. Hey, being stuck in the houses, even the adults fighting with their kids over the gaming consoles. And I think that's quite shocking, you know, coming from you.
I think Lorenzo's a keen gamer. You might share your knowledge in the games and... It is. It's one of those things like gambling. It's one of the more hidden addictions, only seen, as you say, Mel, in the household. The parents know about it, but not many other people are exposed to it. Also, like with Lula, it affects the young in age, because, you know, anybody, unlike alcohol and drugs, the access usually cuts off certain age groups, but...
Yes.
But the gaming, it's everybody.
Yes.
With the addiction to gaming, what some of the strategies that your team put in place to deal with? So can you give an example? You know, someone might be listening in and is going through the same experience, but I would love to hear from you the strategy that you guys, or the plans that are put in place to help people overcome that struggle.
Well, we've got the same, with addiction, like there could be different types of addiction, but in terms of the recovery of addiction, a lot of the paradigms and models this can be applied across different addictions. That's just the way that recovery works. So a lot of our holistic models of care and change, which we apply to intervention for alcohol, drugs, similarly apply to gaming as well. So looking at early warning sign, things like that, triggers.
Oh, man.
Plans around managing those triggers and coming out of, those early sort of signs of addiction, and then putting in maintenance and plans, to follow up your action. So those sort of things really apply well across the board. Mm. I think that another thing, a point of difference is, we're... our engagement with, this well, Mel and Lorenzo, is the way we engage families. That's always going to be a point of difference for us. The cultural, specific way of engaging our parents helps to break the cycle of addiction for an individual, because the individual is a part of something bigger. It's a collective, it's a family. So when we know I don't want to give away all our secrets just in case someone's out there trying to take our secrets.
But that's how it is, man. That needs to stop.
That's how it is.
That needs to... Man. You got me thinking now. Dwayne, so it is... for me, the reality is we're addicted to our cell phones.
We are.
Our kids.
Social media.
Social media
is massive.
To draw the line, Dwayne, you reckon just take the phones, throw the TV out off the kids before they get too addicted like people are on drugs and alcohol? Because that's quite a scary thought, eh? Because everyone has access to technology, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's one way, Mal. We can throw out the devices and the TV, as you say, and cut off all access that way. That's one way, and it works in some... it's not a one-size-fits-all. I think, things like this has to be modelled really well in the home. And our parents, the three of us, they wouldn't have been... they wouldn't have had the struggle of, phones and TVs to the degree we do, and our kids will have.
Now,
yeah, but I think if we can model it really strongly in the house, that it isn't going to be the be all and end all of our lives. And it's hard; it's easier said than done.
Dwayne, do you have any specific models in terms of dealing with, what do you call it, addictions to the gaming online? Is there a specific model there for that type of addiction?
Well, I think, not a specific model, but when you apply things like motivational interviewing, some of those sort of clinical approaches to gaming addiction, CBT, those sort of things can have some inroads. I think even if we draw it right back and before we even get to the crux of the issues, understanding that a problem is a problem in the first place. So, education has a place there. Education awareness. Actually, did you know that this is a problem? No, I didn't. Maybe drawing the line there and then being able to, find a place and a space to bring in some of those other, streamlined
measures.
Therapies and measures of change.
Dwayne, as a manager of Tikanga Fuhi, being in the centre of the place where a lot of people are coming in with problems, addictions, are you worried as a Pacific Islander to see all the stats, for the future generations?
Very worried. Very worried, Lorenzo. Gambling is on the up. Things like synthetic cannabis, methamphetamine, these are drugs that had no place in the Pacific for a long time, but sort of over the last 10 years we've seen a huge uptake. So it does concern me. It's a problem that's you know, very, very evident and a growing issue for our Pacific, absolutely.
Dwayne, also, I just want to throw out a question in regards to gambling. You know, we were talking about it before. Just got to go to the casino and out onto that gold mine and you'll see the mamas and the papas, you know. The islanders, Māori, they probably make up 90% plus of those tapping, you know. With your experience over the years, are we, as a clinician, are we getting to the root of the problem?
That's a tough one. You're right. I mean, we do have a lot of our Pacific in the casinos. It's part of the culture that it's up there for argument whether it belongs or not. I think of Lorenzo's church fundraising group that the aunties in the casinos. That's a good question. I mean, it's one that we'd have to pose to the Pacific. I mean, are we making inroads there? I know a lot of groups. Lorenzo, your team, for one, we spoke about one off air as well. Your last guest, Mel. People and groups like that are making some really good inroads into the community, at the community level, interfacing with community and educating that actually these are dangerous behaviours, you know. The healthy and the tickets, the fundraisers, is it harnessing a culture of
gambling
that's harmful, or is it just
under the guise of fundraising?
Fundraising for the FFLs,
encouraging it
to Samoa.
And it's got to a point where parents leave their kids in the cars while feeding that, you know, that addiction. Going into the casino and leaving the kids in the cars in the parking lot. And that's a massive concern.
It is. Again, we're all certainly pushing for that education. And with the gambling, you know, you can imagine the hole that you can get yourself into.
Yes.
You know, once you're in the throes of debt, the only way they can see out is try and win back the losses. And then you're doing unspeakable things at that stage, stealing from your own family.
Yes. Taking it out on your loved ones, you know, you don't need us a researcher to tell you when you lose money at a pub, you know, hoping to win that jackpot, you lose that money, you go home, man, someone's going to be getting it.
Absolutely.
And you want to drown your sorrows, get on the piss.
It's natural for people to feel like that.
Well, that's the consequence, when you gambling. And like you said, Dwayne, us as Pacific Islanders, I'm not saying it's our culture, but are we harnessing like housing and bingo and all that stuff to even worse things, like you said, an unimaginable hole? That's scary, man. You know, these are real life. We see it in our hoods, in our areas. We know of people in our churches.
That's right. In our families.
Dwayne, you know, I know our time is going to run up soon, but pretty sure people are listening in to our program might want to get in touch with you.
Yes.
Now, how do people get referred to you? Do they come from main hospitals or can they self-refer?
Hello, Lorenzo.
Can they walk in?
Hello, love of you. Both those things. Mental health teams, the bulk of our referrals come from GPs, but also... community providers, NGOs, crisis team will refer from the community. And as you say, hospitals, so people can self-refer. For our addictions team and importantly our gambling team, they can refer in three ways, via the phone or by an online referral. If you're handy with Google and you Google Tupu Pacific Services, you'll find us. We're under Waitamata DHB, remember. And then there's another way, the phone, I think that's... That's probably an easy way. These are your lotto numbers here. 845-1811 and the bonus number 0. 845-1810 is the phone number for Tupu Services. You can refer on phone as well.
Do you do home visits and also group workshops as well? Because I know some people, they prefer to have a face-to-face conversations, and some people prefer to open up, you know, in within a group settings.
You're right, absolutely spot on there, Lorenzo. We do both. Like you say, people prefer face-to-face, so we've done, we do, we absolutely go to homes, do home visits, family intervention groups as well.
Also, so I can bring Takanga Fohe and ask for someone to come over home and ask and help with a gambling addiction. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's all private and confidential, so you know any information taken is reserved, is confidential and private.
I'm just thinking, what a blessing to have that kind of service. Service, especially during these times where there's been, you guys know, where you just got to watch the news. Been huge cuts. Services have been shut down.
You know. Now so the bonus is all these services are free, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a blessing, Wayne. We only got less than 5 minutes left. Lorenzo, thank you so much for your help as well. You know, I apologise for the mishap at the start. Wayne, any, you know, final words to Lorenzo to help wrap us up?
No, absolutely. I thank you, brothers, but I also, for anyone listening out there that worked through COVID, I acknowledge you and thank you for your good service to our communities, be it Pacific or not. Thank you. And I also want to plug in and thank all the services that work for Pacific in terms of providing this quality service care and the various and vast health needs for Pacific. Big ups to you guys, and thank you for the work that you do, and may God bless your service.
Marlo Duane, thank you so much. And as often as the case, I feel like we're just tickling the surface, you know, Duane, and I really appreciate you coming on board to share with us the work you're doing. And you're a very well-spoken man. You're a young man. You've been in the game a long time.
Too young.
You know, he's a little bit younger than me.
21.
Come on, man.
So that was, just a little quick reminder that 845-1810 is our contact number. If you want to refer to one of our services. Thanks, Lorenzo. Mel.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dwayne. And please also, if we can make it happen, bring you in next week and continue this talanoa.
Okay, lovely people out there who are listening in to JAMA Pacifica Health Program on Planet FM 104.6. We have the awesome Dwayne Faletanoa from Takanga Fohe, Waitamata District Health Board, and Mele Mele Puka, who is our producer and director for the show today. Thank you so much for listening in. If you want to get a hold of Takanga Fohe, if you have any problems with any addictions, mental health, suicide, gambling, any sort of support.
Gaming addictions.
Gaming addiction, yes. Which is massive social media addiction. Pornography addiction.
Absolutely.
Get in touch with Takanga Fohe. Yes. My brother Dwayne Faletanoa'i will surely be able to help. Call them now on 09-845-1810. The bonus number for today is 09-845-1810. Thank you so much for tuning in.